Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, I'm having a good time answering questions. And there are two questions out of the ones that have been turned in so far. And if you haven't turned in questions and it's like, well, I should have done that. Well, I didn't get the memo. Well, I have a question I'd like to ask. Write it down, turn it in. I'd be happy to try and tackle your questions. But two questions from different individuals that basically deal with the same thing. One, how do you feel about the genre of fantasy? Other person put this down. What is your opinion about books, movies, and TV shows that feature supernatural characters? What is your opinion about books, movies, and TV shows that feature supernatural characters? Actually, one of the Power Rangers was a member of our congregation on Cape Cod. Unfortunately, I'm afraid she doesn't know Jesus because some other career choices and interviews and so forth that caused me to think that while she heard the gospel in childhood, both at church and at home, it doesn't sound like she's walking with the Lord. But in answer to that question, point number one, imagination is a gift from God. Imagination is a gift from God. It's one of the ways in which we reflect His character, His nature. God has the greatest imagination of anything in the universe because the whole universe was invented by Him. God imagined and brought into being the stars, the laws of physics, matter itself. Energy, as we know it within the creation, is something God dreamed up. God designed parrots and macaws. God designed clover and violets. God designed all these wonderful, wonderful things. And God designed humans as the crown of His creation. So imagination, when we are able to picture something that isn't at this point, and sometimes, depending on what we're imagining, try and bring it into being, that's a good thing. That is how inventions are made. Somebody thinks, well, what if there was a way that we could, well, what if there was a device that, well, what if that's where invention comes from? And it makes a difference in medicine and in industry and in art. So imagination is a wonderful gift from God. But you see, the difficulty is, as with other good gifts from God, imagination can be distorted, perverted, misused. And the reason for that is that all of us, not just some of us, all of us have a sin problem. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. In Genesis chapter 8, God says this about mankind, and it's worth noting. Genesis chapter 8, beginning in verse 20, "Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, 'Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood.'" And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That's God's promise. That is a fact. You can count on that. And if you're terribly concerned about the environment, good, be a good steward. But start with knowing what God says. He created the whole thing. He rules over all. And he says, as long as earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. But the focus of the passage that I wanted to give you is what God says about us. We have all kinds of imaginations and inclinations, and they all tend to go in the same direction, and that's the wrong place. Now, does that mean that I've got to stop imagining things? No, you're imagining things if you think you can stop. All right? We all have a sin problem, and we can't save ourselves, but look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Notice the "and thoughts." Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us, in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now what does that say? It says that all of us by nature are under the dominion of the forces of darkness, which are not imaginary, they are real. There really are powerful supernatural beings presided over by an enemy of God, Lucifer, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, a liar, and the father of liars. And guess what? He knows his days are numbered. Because you see, it's not, as Star Wars presents it, kind of the good and evil being the yin and the yang, two sides of the same coin. That's a false imagining. That is a whole worldview, thank you, Mr. Lucas, that is not invented by him, but it is derived by him from an ancient lie where Satan pretends that he is God's counterpart. You've got God on one side, Satan on the other, and basically they're going at it, and we'll see how it turns out. No. God is infinite. God is eternal. Satan hasn't always been. He is part of the creation, and he fell from his position, which was an exalted position, through pride and rebellion, and as a result, he is headed for a place that God has prepared for his destruction. And those who join him in refusing to submit to God are going to end up in the same place with him.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone. into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So,
and he's holding out his hand.
Literature that uses imagination to create complicated, multi-layered stories and let us imagine in our minds other worlds where maybe some things are different. All of those still come back to reality one way or the other. If you, for instance, wrote a story about a world where there was no gravity, in order to tell that story, you would be having to continually reference mentally the difference that it would make if there was what? No gravity. In other words, you can't escape from reality even when you're trying to go into fantasy. And so it becomes very, very important what is the message of this story. What is the message of this story? I don't care what movie you're watching. I don't care what book you're reading. You need to be asking yourself, what is the message? Sadly, that is a question that tons of Christians fail to ask. A dear friend of ours who is tremendously generous and missions-minded and has done great things for the kingdom of God was entertaining our family in her home, and she wanted our three biological children, as all we had at the time, she wanted our three children to watch her favorite movie with her in their home theater. I'm talking theater seats, big screen. They're wealthy people. So we sat there as she played, I think it was called Somewhere in Time, with Christopher Reeve before his accident where he became a quadriplegic. And it's a story about a guy who's staying at a hotel up in Michigan, a beautiful historic hotel, and he encounters this beautiful woman, and they fall in love. Only problem is she's living in the 1800s, and he's living in the 20th century, and oh no, what do we do? He has to kind of go into this time warp in order to be able to spend time with her, and then she disappears, and it's so disappointing and heartbreaking because he can tell that she cares for him, and he certainly has never loved anyone the way he loves her, and he wants to be with her. And so throughout the movie, you wonder, will they reconnect? How's this going to turn out? And at the very end of the movie, the two of them are able to link up together, and as they get into bed, the camera, of course, goes up to the ceiling so you don't see anything that you shouldn't see. She's sitting there wiping away the tears. It's such a beautiful thing. It's such a lovely romantic tale. And she turns to our boys and she says, "Well, what did you think?" And one of my boys immediately responded, and they were elementary age at the time, but immediately responded, "Well, it seems to me that the message of that movie is that fornication is a good thing." Okay. What a downer. Do Christians have to be downers? No, Christians need to be sane. And if you're sane, you understand reality is the basis on which we judge fantasy. If the message of the fantasy is a lie, sin is good. Sin is worth it. You want to sin. If that's the message of the fantasy, it's a bad fantasy. It's an evil imagination. And you need to take every thought captive to the Lordship of Christ. Well, so does that mean that Christians cannot watch movies or read literature unless it is Christian in its message? No. What it means is that as we read books, watch movies, etc., we need to be constantly, prayerfully analyzing the messages that are being thrown at us. Is Batman good or bad? Is a movie about Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid from when I was a teenager a good movie or a bad movie? They do die at the end. There was no Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid 2. Okay? But what is the message? Years ago, a neighbor who no longer lives in the state of Tennessee poisoned, I think it was 8 dogs right in this immediate area. One of them was mine. The way he did that was that he put rat poison in hamburger meat. The dogs ate the meat because what red-blooded American dog wouldn't want hamburger? Of course. Let's go. Killed a bunch of dogs. Wicked, crazy man. But you know what? The part that mattered was not the hamburger meat. It was the poison inside. And when you and I watch movies, read books, think about things, we need to see if Satan has simply slipped some poison into a desirable surround so that we will take the bait. How do you catch fish? Okay? You drop a hook over the side? No, you put bait on a hook and drop it over the side. The fish, finding the bait, grabs it and is hooked. And that is the problem with tons of imaginative literature, fantasies, movies, etc. So again, you're saying Christians must not watch these things. No, Christians must not watch these things uncritically. You got to look at what's going on. You got to chew. You got to choose. You got to say, I don't think that's a good thing. I can tell from the commercial, for goodness sake. We've got Netflix. I admit it. It is so hard to find anything decent. Let me give you an example. Somebody back in the 1960s imagined a small town in North Carolina where life was simple and people didn't have to lock their doors. And there was a wonderful sheriff in town named Andy. He had a comically funny deputy named Barney. They had a sweet old caregiver in his home to help take care of his son because he was a widower. And her name was Aunt Bee. Little boy was Opie. I mean, it was all so cute and so sweet. But I noticed when my kids were growing up, every episode just about, a problem arises and the best solution is to lie. Andy is an inveterate liar. He lies and lies and lies and lies and lies and lies, and that is treated, because they're just white lies, as a good thing. Because he's not trying to hurt anybody with his lies. He's not lying in order to take advantage of people. He's lying to make people feel better. He's lying in order to solve problems without hurting anybody's feelings. That's the message over and over and over and over in Andy of Mayberry. Okay? Well, let me tell you something. I think it's okay to watch Andy of Mayberry with kids and then sit there and say, did you notice anything about Andy's truthfulness? Was it okay for him to do that? Is that the way we solve problems? Understand? Now, does that mean as long as you process it, you can watch anything? No, it does not. The Bible describes very factually adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lots of violence. Remember the guy who got a tent peg driven through his head? It's pretty graphic. I mean, there's stories about people's intestines spilling out, people who were consumed with worms. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in the Bible. Like, ooh, I don't like... Again, if you look at those passages in Scripture, even though it is factual in telling what happened, it doesn't glorify it with gory details beyond what we need in order to know this is what happened. There were people who got their heads chopped off. There were all kinds of Samson got his eyes gouged out. I mean, that's in there. But it doesn't describe the eye being gouged out and what it looked like, etc. It just says they gouged out his eyes. And if the fantasies sort of elaborate and glorify and sensationalize the details of bad stuff, that is not good. And not all things are suitable for all ages. You don't give honey to little kids. You don't give peanut butter to little kids. So you are saying that some fantasy is good, some fantasy is bad. If you want an example of a guy who wrote splendidly using his imagination from a wonderful standpoint, C.S. Lewis. What about Tolkien? What about Tolkien? I will simply say that Tolkien, unfortunately, though I believe he was a believer, and he was a close friend of Lewis and one of the witnesses who helped bring Lewis to Christ, Tolkien was much more subtle in the way that he sought to convey the truth than Lewis was. Many people say that makes for better literature, but unfortunately, it causes a lot of average readers to miss the point. Okay? So, even though Tolkien had a biblical worldview and the way that he dealt with magic and the supernatural and so forth was not to promote magic in terms of his intent, the net effect for a lot of adult readers and youth readers is to end up like my little grandson who'd never even seen the Star Wars movies, thinking that Darth Vader is the hero. He's the good guy, because our hearts are a problem. It's not just the literature, it's what we bring to it. So, Philippians 4, 8. Whatsoever things are pure, lovely, honorable, of good report, those are the things we're supposed to be thinking about. So we can only read like Anne of Green Gables, okay? I would love for you to read Anne of Green Gables. But no, you can read other stuff too. You just have to be careful. Films that promote lust, books that promote lust, comic books that promote lust, songs that promote lust, not okay. It's just not okay. Understand that sin is deadly, and understand that lust is sin. So, what's the message, the main message? Secondly, what are the subtexts? What are the other messages? Harry Potter. Tons of Christians think, well, I don't see anything wrong with Harry Potter. Why? Well, because it's just fantasy. I mean, it's just make-believe. I mean, nobody really thinks that you know, there are wizards who ride around on brooms and have wands that they can do magic with. I mean, nobody really believes that. You're not supposed to believe that. No, what you're supposed to think is that it would be really great if you could supernaturally harness the forces of the universe under your command and thereby exert power. Instead of calling on God and asking Him to do what is best, I'm going to learn how to master these forces, these supernatural forces. Let me tell you, that is a satanic message. So the question was, what do you think about fantasy? Depends on the fantasy. If you're fantasizing about going to the mission field, and it motivates you to want to study hard, and be in good shape, and learn languages so that you'll be in a position to serve the Lord anywhere He sends you, that's a great thing to be dreaming about. That's a great thing to have fantasies about. But if you're fantasizing about sinning and how great it would be, that's evil. You need to repent.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.